Buenos dias. Welcome to the People Power Everything podcast. I am your host, John Dallas, and I believe that there is power in the masses. The goal of this podcast is to talk about that power, how we can help it manifest itself for all of us, and some lessons I've learned along the way. Hello, dear listeners. This week, I asked the question, is culture fit a good thing? I was looking for inspiration this week and had a few ideas, but nothing that really spoke to me. A late contender took me a little by surprise and shifted my thinking in a good way. I came across an article called Is Culture Fit Overrated? And it made me think, which is usually a good sign. I loved this article because it speaks about the scientific side and the simply logical side of an argument. Basically, while culture eats strategy for breakfast, as Peter Drucker had said, it's important to know that a company culture doesn't need to fit people, and people don't need to fit it either. Given I've written about being subversive and quite a bit about remote work, which still tends to fall outside the norm most people know, I found the article timely and worthy of my time. Let's talk about why cultural fit might not be the best thing to hire for. First, cultural fit doesn't really affect performance. The science shows it. We can have people in our company who don't fit the culture or whose culture doesn't fit them, and it could be a really good thing. For example, if you're going through a transformation to shift to an agile culture, let's say, from something more consistent over a long period of time, a more conservative enterprise that's more about getting the last dime or maximizing assets, let's say that. The last thing you want to hire to do that transformation, the last thing you want to do is hire someone who fits the old mold. You want people comfortable being uncomfortable and driving change. You want to encourage experimentation, learning, and a certain level of failure, depending on the risk tolerance. But keeping in mind, you can't break an omelet without breaking a few eggs. I was once lucky enough to have Kent Beck talk to us, who was working for Facebook at the time. Kent Beck is the originator of test-driven development, and he's pretty, well, I hate to say famous, but amongst the geeks, he might be famous. And he explained the way things were done within certain groups at Facebook. And really, they had three teams. They called it the E's, the explore, the expand, and the extract. And the goal of the expand was to take something that was kind of working and make it bigger, build it out, deploy it around the world, for example, at Facebook. The extract team was stuff you don't really want to mess with. Let's say Facebook Messenger. You don't want to mess around with a good thing. So the things they would change would be really small and to be trying to get the most out of what they have. But the interesting group was the explore group. The explore group, basically, they try stuff. They throw stuff against the wall, see what sticks. And with each one of those groups, there was a failure rate that was expected. So within the extract group, the one that was the least, I'll say, creative or the least risky, their failure rate had to be really, really low. It had to be, 1% or less, let's say. The expand group, the group that was taking ideas and making them bigger, deploying them around the world, their failure rate was higher than the extract group, but not so high that they'd be killing stuff. So let's say 5 to 10%. But the interesting thing, the explore group, their failure rate was 40 to 50%. They wanted to try stuff. They needed to fail. If they weren't failing, they weren't trying hard enough. And it's something that I say to my people and try to put out there is, if you're not failing some of the time, you're not trying hard enough. You're not pushing boundaries. So if you want to learn and change, you have to try things that are outside what you already know. If video games have taught us anything, it's that failure brings learning and adjustments, and we shouldn't penalize people for trying. This is what Mark Rober calls the Super Mario effect, where he talks about video games and how they're built. And nobody ever says, I feel shame because I didn't make it through all the levels right away when trying the game for the first time. There's an expectation of failure, and you learn, you adjust. You don't feel shame, but you feel the growth, which is really good. In our personal and work lives, I believe this should be the norm. We figure out where we want to go, what we want to be. We learn about different perspectives. We try something different, and we see what sticks and what we can be better at. In the case of failure, we learn, we adjust, we try again in different ways. This is life. Second, cultural fit doesn't really affect engagement. Again, the science shows this. The things that drive engagement are the people around us, the job conditions, our own personality. While culture can affect engagement if it limits that ability, if it limits the ability of people to do what they like, or limits their autonomy, their growth and competence, or their sense of belonging, which are, by the way, the basic psychological needs in self-determination theory, if anybody's interested, it largely has little impact. Cultural fit doesn't impact engagement. Studies show that whether you work in a place that matches your values or not, you're equally likely to be happy, unhappy, or neither. That's powerful to think about. It shifts perspective to say to ourselves, no matter the culture, we can make things good anyway. Next, pushing for cultural fit can harm diversity and inclusion, as well as creativity and innovation. So the effort to find people that fit the existing culture, it encourages hiring managers to seek out people that think similarly, or that are like them, or that are like the people that are already there, which might seem easier, but has long-term bad effects. We need people who think differently and who can challenge each other. I find myself repeating to my teams that I want people to tell me I'm wrong so I can learn and we can make good decisions together that push boundaries. Sometimes I just throw stuff out there to see how people will react. I mean, it's kind of logical, but at the same time, I want them to challenge me and say, John, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I find that really exciting when they do that, because it means that they're thinking and they're ready to challenge and they're bringing forth their ideas. But that means hiring people with different experiences, different expertise, different worldviews. We can only learn if we get ourselves into something we know little about. It all goes back to, if we aren't learning and growing, technically and as humans, we're falling behind. I think that's a self-quote. I think I've said that a few times, but you could probably find it somewhere else on the internet said by somebody else. In the article, I especially appreciate the closing argument, to shift to culture add. So don't necessarily make people fit, but add to the culture, make it better. It doesn't mean hiring people that have completely different values, but simply working a little harder to push on the boundaries, make them shift out a bit, a little or maybe a lot, to encourage growth. I love to learn, and being in environments that help me do that is highly motivating. And from experience, I also know this is true for most people. We like to learn. We like to challenge ourselves and go back to basic psychological needs. Competence, the need to increase our competence, is a basic need. And by bringing in more diverse culture, more diverse opinions, more diverse approaches, it becomes a way to learn for everybody. Of course, we have to be open to that. I'd love to hear about your experiences in adding people to your teams or your personal lives that aren't a culture fit, and how they helped you grow and think about life in a different way. Thinking about people is more than a hobby for me, and I think it should be the same for many more, because after all, people power everything. I hope you have a great day and week ahead, and I hope you enjoyed this little thought-provoking don't hire for cultural fit. Well, maybe hire for cultural fit, but make sure you hire for other stuff and move towards cultural add. That might be a cool little addition to our hiring practices. I'll have to talk to our talent and culture team and see how they react to that. In any event, if you like these, feel free to forward and encourage your friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, dog, leaders, staff, or even mortal enemies to sign up to the list, which you'll find in the written versions or in the show notes. And if you have any feedback, send me an email. I'm John at peoplepowereverything.com. Have a great week ahead. Talk to you soon.